Now, there's a story that really caught my eye, and it caught my eye because I thought, wow, I did not know that. The publication is on the Spotlight site, also reprinted on the Daily Maverick website. And what it looks at is the extent to which heroin is a serious problem in South Africa. The illegal drug trade and its consequences is not something I can really claim to have followed really, really carefully over the last while. But when there's conversations, it's usually about tik and nyaupe on the one hand and cocaine on the other, with marijuana somewhere in the middle in regard to policy debates about its legalization, decriminalization, and possible commercial use. But this article looks at heroin, and to talk about it, we're joined now by the author, the journalist Jesse Copeland. Jesse, a very good afternoon to you. Is it just me, or have we really underestimated the extent to which heroin is a problem in our country? Good afternoon to you.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, what we're seeing on one hand is a lot of academic research that finds that heroin use is really widespread across the country. And on the other hand, we're seeing very little discussion of this within media and just within public conversations. As you say, I mean, I think a big part of this is that we often talk a lot about Nayopi, we often talk a lot about Wunga and Unga, and all of these drugs are kind of used as if they're names for kind of separate drugs. And
yes,
often they're presented as sort of new drugs that exist. In reality, drug dealers themselves make very little distinction between Nayopi and Wunga and heroin. These are all ultimately names that refer to the same product. And so I think that's part of what has kind of distracted the public when it comes to the conversation. It's distracted us from the fact that we actually have a serious sort of ballooning heroin crisis.
So is this, let me ask the question this way. The people who are using heroin, are they using it in the kind of concoctions that are generically called, for example, nyaupe, where heroin is a component, or are they using it in its pure form? And to the extent that it's the latter, are people injecting it, or are they is it used as a combustible?
So yeah, I mean, the first question is, it is complicated because different studies have found different things. So, you know, initially there were some studies that just took samples of Nayopi from the police, and they looked at it in a laboratory. And what they found was the main substance across all the samples was heroin, but they did find that there were some additives. And one of the additives that got discussed a lot in the media was that they found traces of old ARV drugs in
right.
some of the samples. And so it was suggested that, okay, this is like a cocktail substance that combines all sorts of different drugs together to create like a uniquely addictive substance. And I think that what got missing from that picture is that, you know, while it's true that some studies did find these additives, the additives kind of like vary across different samples and different studies. So, you know, in one of the first studies that found traces of ARVs, they only actually found traces of ARVs in a small minority of the number of Nayopi samples that they looked at.
Yeah.
And they were trace amounts. And rather than this being kind of a unique concoction that they're creating, there are different additives that you find in different samples. And those additives are probably used not to create some unique drug that's particularly like uniquely addictive or mm-hmm. gives you a unique high. These are probably bulking agents where, you know, dealers are cutting heroin with other stuff in order to just
yes.
increase the volume that's sold. And that's actually not a practice that's unique to South Africa. That you find similar things in the United States as well. For instance, there was a study that found like anti-malaria drugs in heroin that was being sold in the U.S. That doesn't mean that it's a kind of a new drug that's been created. It's just heroin with some bulking agents. And you'll probably find those bulking agents in the substance, regardless of whether it's being sold as heroin or whether it's being sold as Nayopi
yeah.
or whether it's being sold as Wunga. And as I mentioned, drug dealers themselves, when they get interviewed, say that regardless of what they're calling it, they're selling the same product, basically.
So what are the trafficking patterns then? I mean, where is it coming from? Who's what do we know about who's involved at this end?
Yeah, so I mean, the trafficking itself is actually a really big part of the story of why heroin is so big. Obviously, heroin itself comes from the poppy plant, which is mainly cultivated in Afghanistan. And previously, drug syndicates, were taking that heroin in order to transport it to the big consumer markets in Europe. They were trafficking it on land, to get it to Europe. What started happening was that the Europeans started policing their borders more strictly. And so the syndicates changed the smuggling routes more frequently. They started increasingly trafficking it via the ocean. They take it to Pakistan and they take it along the Indian Ocean to get it to East and Southern Africa.
Right.
And then from there, it could be re-exported from South Africa, often via, our major airports, like OR Tambo, in order to get it to the markets in Europe and sometimes Asia as well. And so over time, what you've actually had is just a very large increase in the supply and in just the amount of heroin that's kind of coming through the borders.
Yes.
Initially, all of that heroin was kind of most of it was just in transit. But over time, you've got these spin-off markets that have formed within South Africa, and you've kind of had a leakage of that heroin in transit that ends up in the country itself. So, for instance, people who are involved in the heroin trade, say, and just transporting it within South Africa might get paid in kind. So they get paid in heroin.
Yeah, I was. Can I just jump in there and ask you that? I mean, I've read somewhere that that is a key strategy of creating heroin routes where you try to turn your transit points to some degree into user markets as a way of creating other incentives to protect the people in the trade, but also create ways, as you've just said, of padding perhaps your profit margins by turning them into dealers as well as facilitators.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems that that's part of what's happened here, that, you've got people who were, say, as I say, drivers, or maybe people who were helping you get heroin to the ports, who started getting paid in heroin. I'm not sure exactly why that's happened, though the explanation you've given sounds pretty reasonable. But, you've also had cases, for instance, apparently where local dealers ended up stealing from, the traders that were transiting that heroin. And so there are kind of a number of ways in which heroin gets leaked into the local market. When it was initially kind of in transit. Over time, though, what that's meant is kind of you just have enormous amounts of the drug, and so the price has kind of steadily fallen, and it's kind of just become a lot more accessible than it used to be. There was a study, for instance, that looked at heroin in Cape Town.
Right.
And they found that, the price of heroin in 2014, for instance, was much lower than it was in 2004. And so, yeah, it is just a lot more accessible for people at the moment.
Thank you so much, Jesse Copeland. Really important story. If you work in dealing with people who are trying to battle the problems they face, having become addicted to drugs, or maybe a community is, are you talking about heroin, or are people mostly, still referring to nyaupe and so on? Very, very interesting insights indeed. Go to this website, Spotlight NSP. NSP.co.za. There's that story and plenty of other interesting stories besides.